Blog Talk Radio.
Woo!
Hey, you're gonna be mad, Alfonso. I haven't had time to get it cut, and my hair is...
Don't worry! We will have you looking perfect, sir! Uh-oh! Look at you! You look crazy!
I know, I look crazy.
Well, let's get started. And how is the Empire coming along? Last time you were very excited about your Death Star.
Let's just say we're already building another one.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I've got Vader on it. Ugh, just saying his name stresses my ass.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, turn your head for me, please.
You lost them?
Uh-oh. I can't hold your hand anymore, Vader. A hand I gave you, I might add.
No, shut up. I gotta put you on hold.
I just want to throw myself in a hot bath and cry.
Oh, no. You're looking for some guys? What about a bounty hunter?
A what now?
You know, a guy who looks for a guy for money. My sister's dating one.
Alfonso, you're a lifesaver. What's your midichlorian count?
Seriously, what do we need to do?
We'll put an ad in the paper. Bounty hunters from everywhere are looking. And then we got this guy.
I like it. And I like where this is going.
Well, you got the face for it. Woo!
Speaking of having the face for it, I have a face for radio. It is the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. You look crazy. I love that clip. Star Wars Robot Chicken, if you don't know about it, check it out. Just love it. Why don't we get started? It's time. Pardon me. Of course, I have to clear my throat on the air. I'm such an idiot. It's time for another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. I'm your host and the commissioner of the Mad Dog Dynasty League, Rick Goreski, coming at you with the 2016 Rules Meeting Preview Show. Hold your applause. And no, for you wise asses out there, the show will not consist of 30 minutes of talking about what date will work best for the actual meeting. No idea why this year's meeting was so hard to nail down, but it's set now, Sunday, April 24th, 2016, noon start at the Mad Dog Saloon. Be there or else we're going to vote your best players to be given out to the rest of us. Before we get into the current agenda for the rules meeting, I do want to go over some league news and stories, things of interest. In fact, first of all, let me start off by saying happy birthday to Brian, the Marauding Minotaurs, Brian Koch. Brian's birthday is today. God, you old man. I don't even know how old you are. I know you're older than me. So all I can say is 50% of men, I saw a commercial, 50% of men 40 and over have problems, you know. So Brian Koch, 13th of April. That's today's show. So congratulations, Brian. Happy birthday. Let's see here. We are going to get back into the swing of things here. Before we get into the current agenda, I want to go over some league news and stories of interest. First, Calvin Johnson has retired. Following in Barry Sanders' footsteps, the now former Lion officially calls it quits and in the process gives Urine Trouble a lot of cap relief. Urine Trouble's team is over the cap, that's right now. That's with a 3% increase in the cap compared to last year, thanks to Calvin calling it quits. First of all, if I could step back, people might say, like, how could he, if the cap went up 3% and he was under the cap last year, how could he be over the cap? Well, that's because he was under the cap last year, but he had players on injured reserve. So now that those players have come off of injured reserve and they're back on his active roster, now Urine Trouble is over the salary cap. So, but now, thanks to Calvin calling it quits, Urine is going to walk away from the $10.40 contract that came with Calvin Johnson. Frams goes from being up against the cap to having more than enough money to re-sign any player he wants. Justin Tuck also retired as a member of Urine Trouble, so two retirements giving Urine Trouble a little bit of cap leeway. Another big retirement, Beast Mode. Marshawn Lynch walks away from the game, saving Crazy Seven $14.28, being that Crazy's my team. I can tell you that I was planning on cutting Lynch as part of the transition cuts before the talk of his possible retirement made me hold off. It wasn't a sure thing, but there was some buzz out there that he might retire. And if I had cut him before the 2016 season during the transition cuts, then I would have had to carry a dollar or two of cap hit over into 2016. I went ahead and gambled that Lynch would retire, and it paid off. I was able to get out of the entire deal with no cap hit. So it was 50-50. This time it fell my way. Other times it doesn't. The ball doesn't bounce your way. Just ask Lost in the Sauce. Tim Savour, not so lucky. He bit the bullet and cut Jared Mayo. And during the transition cut window, he cut him, and then he watched as Mayo retired. And, you know, you win some, you lose some. There's no going back once you do it. Another big retirement this year, Peyton Manning finally calls it quits. Incredible career for Peyton Manning. And Gar Nelson from Klingons Around Uranus. Contract was up already, so he could have walked away from the deal anyway, but just the same, that's a major retirement to note. Gar also lost Malcolm Floyd and Heath Miller to retirement, so I think that's a record for most retirements in 1 year. He had three guys retire from his roster. So in other news, other league news, Steelers wide receiver Martavis Bryant has earned a one-year suspension for a failed drug test. Thanks, you bastard. Bryant doing his best to follow in the footsteps of Josh Gordon, who himself just failed a drug test right before being reinstated after being out for a year himself. So, Gordon, there is still a possibility that he can reapply for reinstatement on August 1st. And that if he shows good behavior from now to August 1st, because the amount of marijuana that he tested positive for was so small, he could still play this year. Pardon me. Gordon could still play this year. He's going to have to sit out until August 1st, at which time he'll be able to apply for reinstatement. I keep seeing these reports that he's rooming with Johnny Manziel in L.A. Nothing good is going to come of that. I mean, yikes, nothing good is going to come of that. The guy's career may be over. Let's face it, if he can't get himself back on the field, if he's still struggling with drugs after being out of the league for a year, when is he going to turn it around? Bringing us back to him, Martavis Bryant. Bryant suspended, one-year suspension. No idea what's going to happen. He was slated to play a key role for my own team this year, and obviously that is out the window. So kind of proves the point that even if you think you have, you can never have enough good players. Even if you think your starting lineup is set, you think you have extra players to go, crazy stuff like that can happen, and next thing you know, you're digging for another player. So why don't we move over to trade news? In trade news, the Marauding Minotaurs and Show Me Your TDs made the first trade of the 2016 season. The Minotaurs send defensive back, I think it's Mark Barron, from the now L.A. Rams. The Rams moving back to L.A. He's on a one-year deal for $1.18 a year. Barron is being rumored to move to linebacker. They played him last year when I think it was Laurinaitis got hurt. No, it wasn't Laurinaitis. It was Ogletree, I think, got hurt. And they brought Mark Barron in to play linebacker. They moved him out of safety, even though he's technically a defensive back, moved him up to play safety. So the Minotaurs sent Barron and a 2017 fifth-round draft pick to Show Me Your TDs. Scott Phillips went ahead and sent tight end Eric Ebron from Detroit, a three-year contract, $159 a year, over to Brian Koch and the Marauding Minotaurs. So, interesting deal on both sides. Again, Barron being moved to linebacker, and he looked really good. And this year I hear he's going to stay at linebacker. I don't know if he'll be reclassified, but that's what I'm hearing in early off-season news. Ebron, on the other hand, he was the eighth pick of our 2014 fantasy draft. So it's only 2 years in here, and tight ends take a while to develop. So it's an even deal, and it's really interesting, especially since it's a trade within the division. NFL news, Robert Griffin III. He is a Brown, a Cleveland Brown. Colin Kaepernick is screwing up a trade to Denver over money. Nice job, you selfish bastard. Don't go and get your career back together or anything, and you know, at which point you could probably make 15 times the amount of money that you're making right now, but you know, step over dollars to pick up nickels, I guess, right? Brock Osweiler spurned Denver to be the quarterback for Houston. Good for you, Brock. Matt Forte is a Jet. Lamar Miller is a Texan. This one, I bet few people saw this one. I'm giving you some signings. I kind of scanned over who went where because it all happens so fast that sometimes you miss it or sometimes you're just busy. Donald Brown signed with the New England Patriots. So I found that one really interesting. If Brown could stay healthy, you know, New England has a knack for taking those running backs and squeezing the last of their whatever's left in their legs out of them. Chris Ivory is a bastard. He signs with Jacksonville. I have T.J. Yeldon. Not mad or anything about that. No. I think it's great. I think it's great to have another running back there to help take carries away from Yeldon. He'll be so much fresher when he gets his carries. Yeah. Christian Michael is back in Seattle. Alfred Morris is a Cowboy. That's really interesting, something to watch. Travis Benjamin is a Charger. Marvin Jones went to Detroit to help fill Calvin Johnson's shoes. His old comrade in Cincy, Mohamed Sanu, is now an Atlanta Falcon. Rishard Matthews, very interesting, went to the Titans. Matthews, a good player, so we'll see if he can develop some chemistry with Marcus Mariota. Mike Wallace took his underachieving act to Baltimore, which I totally don't understand. If anyone is not Baltimore Raven material, it's Mike Wallace. I used to like the guy as a player, and yeah, clarify, I used to like the guy as a player, and I just was so unimpressed with the way that he behaved in Miami. And then he came up to Minnesota and didn't do anything. And then when he got cut from Minnesota, he kind of ripped on Teddy Bridgewater, which I thought was completely uncalled for. I mean, the word malcontent comes to mind based on some of the behavior you see. But we'll see. I mean, Baltimore, you got to leave room for, you know, we don't all know everything that's going on behind the scenes in these organizations. And you always got to leave room that, you know, maybe it's not his fault. Maybe something else was going on that held him back. We're going to find out because I think Baltimore might be one of his last stops, if not the last stop. Speaking of underachievers, Jared Cook is a Packer. I'm not that excited about it. The guy is always pointed to as having talent, and he just always underachieves. So I don't think you're going to be fighting me to get a hold of Jared Cook this year in any of our leagues. Good luck to him. I'm a Packer fan, so I hope he does great. At tight end, Martellus Bennett is a Patriot. The rich get richer as now, you know, people have accused Martellus Bennett of being a little underachieving in his own right. But I think Bennett in that offense with Gronkowski, I think Bennett could do a great job as a number two tight end there where the coverage is peeled off of him, people focusing on Gronkowski, Edelman. If they get the running game going, you know, it's always been a nice spot for a number two tight end. Kobe Fleener is a Colt. Ladarius Green is a Steeler. That's trouble for everybody. Ben Watson joins the Ravens. Chandler Jones traded to Arizona. Chris Long, formerly of the Rams, now a Patriot. Mario Williams went to the Dolphins, which I found to be really interesting. Olivier Vernon is a Giant. Nick Fairley went to the Saints. And B.J. Raji retired at linebacker. Kiko Alonso is now a Dolphin thanks to a trade. Demario Davis signed with Cleveland, formerly of the Jets. Jarrell Freeman, formerly of the Indianapolis Colts, Steve Wellman's favorite player, is now a Chicago Bear. James Laurinaitis Woo! Animal's brother from the Legion of Doom joined the Saints to try and help that squad. Keenan Robinson went to the Giants, where he's likely going to take over in the middle. Very interesting situation there to keep an eye on. Daryl Smith went to the Buccaneers. Don't get that move at all, because they just drafted, going off the top of my head here, they have Lavonte David, and then they drafted a linebacker last year. It was like KW something was his first name, and he was really good. And last but not least, here, let's see. Daryl Smith went to the Buccaneers. John Fox got one of his favorites back, Danny Trevathan, over in Chicago. Sean Weatherspoon rejoins the Falcons after a miserable time in Arizona. I think it's Quan Short. I'm not sure. You know what? I'm just going to look. The hell with it. I'm just going to go in there. I'm going to take a look. Is it Pabst or Dream that has this guy? I'm just going to write over to Pabst. I think they've got 90% of the young talent that has come into the league in the last 2 years. Quan Alexander, that's his name, and he is on Pabst's roster. Good for them. Very nice move on their part. So I don't understand, as a fan on the outside looking in, I don't understand why do they go sign Daryl Smith. Of course, I'm happy that it now opens the door for Arthur Brown, but there is absolutely zero talk of Arthur Brown getting the job. So the Arthur Brown trade, this is my last gasp to not go down as truly the worst trade ever in league history, possibly rivaling some of the worst trades in fantasy football history with this former Arthur Brown trade that I made years ago with Pabst. Boy, if Arthur Brown can't get in the lineup with Daryl Smith out of the way, it's over. It's done. For defensive backs, Prince Amakamura joins Jacksonville, which I found really interesting. Brent Grimes joins the Bucks. Byron Maxwell is a Dolphin via trade with Philly. And last but not least, Casey Hayward left the Packers for the Chargers. And there's other moves out there. I just cherry-picked certain players of name value that I thought I would mention. More is sure to come, but that's what we have right now. Oh, yeah, and the NFL draft, less than 2 weeks away. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, NFL draft just over 2 weeks away. Excuse me. The NFL draft just a hair over 2 weeks away. But, well, it's just over 2 weeks away to the NFL draft, just under 2 weeks away to the 2016 rules meeting, which brings us to our agenda. First item, these are in no particular order. Lift the cap on rookie contracts, or at least raise it. And the idea here, I'm going to expand on some of these topics as, you know, otherwise what's the point of having the show? It would just be an email with some topics. So I'm going to expand and give a little bit of rationale behind these. We're certainly going to discuss these as a league and vote on it. But when we created the league, we were concerned, and God rest his soul, Sean Van Hemmert, we were a little concerned that somebody would try to manipulate the cap, and that they would, because we had these penny players, these rookie players were going to all come with a standard 2-year contract, and they weren't going to cost anything. And then the league, the way it was set up, we had to give them some dollar value, so we gave them a penny, and we called them penny players. And each roster was going to be allowed 10 of them. And our fear was that someone like Sean, who had actually tried to kind of maneuver in the past when we worked in a league, we were concerned that he would attempt to, you know, pick up 15 just of the top stud guys and use 98-99% of his cap on those 15 guys and then fill the rest of his roster with penny players. And we said, boy, that's just not healthy for the league. That's not good. You know, we should cap this at 10. So we went ahead and we capped it at 10. And I think it's time for the league to just take a deeper look at this issue. Now that we're 5 years into the league, it's clear as day. If you stop and you look at the statistics and you add up the numbers, it's clear as day that there is no reason to, frankly, to have any cap on these penny players. Right now, the cap's at 10. let's say at the very least, let's say we raise the cap to 15, right? The only difference between the penny player rule that we have now and what this change in the rules would be proposing is that right now, if you have 11 players that are penny players, you have to raise one of their salaries to 50 cents. So it's a 49-cent increase, all right? So if you give teams five more players, and each of those players is 49 cents, right, that is going to come to a whopping $2.45. Is $2.45 going to be the difference between someone, you know, is that the kind of impact that we were worried about when we created this rule? No, it's not. It's not going to, I mean, the standard increase in the cap every year is more than that. So what I'm trying to say is that as a league, I think we need to talk about whether or not a rule that at the time made a lot of sense to put into place, is it really just, you know, should we just lift the cap completely, or should we raise it to 15 or 20 players and give owners more leeway to collect talent, specifically draft picks and penny players? It's kind of a pain in the rear for us as a league to track how many penny players each team has and then try to force guys to raise the contract at 50 cents. I mean, per each instance, it's only a 49-cent raise. So I just think that's something that we should definitely look at and talk more about, because it just doesn't have the impact that we thought it would have. Next up is to discuss tweaking the taxi rules. And we knew when we passed the taxi rules that we were going to have to give it a try, and, you know, it wasn't going to be the end of it. There was going to be adjusting that would be needed. So here's what we have already. I think we need to give owners more time to respond during the off season. Some guys take a break during the off season, and owners should be able to take a vacation without someone stealing their guy. So right now the setup is that decisions on taxi players, it's not due per the rules until the actual start, I think the signing/tag deadline. So, I mean, you pretty much have like all off season to make a decision on that. Well, there should be something better than that. But at the same time, we shouldn't have something that's like in the regular season, you make a decision, and if the guy doesn't say anything in 2 or 3 days, he loses the player. Well, that's too extreme during the off season. There's guys that take vacations. They, you know, just doing other things. You know, maybe they're in a baseball draft at a baseball league. They're not paying attention to football. I don't think they should be held to, you know, having to check in every week to see if their player is claimed. So I think we should talk about, do we want to do this maybe once a month, every 2 months? Do we want to have a deadline in July instead of August? I just think we need to talk that out of, you know, what makes sense. What does our league want to do as far as off-season claims of players? Again, we have a rule written, and now we need to sit down, now that we've tried the taxi squad during the regular season last year, let's talk about, does that, you know, but now we kind of tasted it. Does this make sense? Should we tweak what that deadline is? Another concept to talk about is, if someone takes another player's taxi player during the off season, should they be forced to commit to keeping the player on their roster to start the season? And the idea, again, is that if they take the player during the season, then they have to hold, well, this is kind of a secondary thing. If they take them during the off season, right? So you take, in the off season, you take my taxi squad player, and I let him go, and you take him. Shouldn't you be forced to keep him on your roster to start the season then? Or should you be able to just dump him? That's just fair game. Because my point here is that you're not out anything unless we're going to – are we going to force a cap hit? Are we going to say when you – because all other contracts signed in the off season, you can step away from the deal. In this case, you could claim every single – you as one team, one owner, could go around and claim every single person's taxi squad player, and you could get them all onto your team, and then you could walk up before the deadline and cut them all, and there would be no cap hit. So we have to talk about that as a league. We'll have to make some kind of a rule modification that says, you know, if you do a taxi squad deal, then, you know, that deal's final. There is no walking that deal back. Like, we have the rule in the league that if you sign a deal in the off season, you can, you know, walk out of that deal or alter the number of years of the deal. I think we would have to look at changing that rule and saying, nope, if you sign a taxi squad player, you're going to get a cap hit. Or do we just say you have to keep the player on your roster to start the season to make it more fair? Another thing we should look at is if you take a player, a taxi player from someone during the season, you should have to hold them for that week that you are awarded the player. So if I claim a player in week two and I get awarded the player to start week three, I should have to carry that player for all of week three unless there's an IR situation. Injury or suspension or something like that, or maybe some other development, like, you know, the player is cut, you know, from their NFL team. We could talk about that at this meeting, but I think maybe the player should be offered back if they don't want to keep them for the full week. It's just one of those small details to think about. You know, otherwise, the idea here is you want to control this a little bit. You want to make this so that guys don't, you know, we're all friends and we're all responsible, but, you know, you have good framework and good rules that help keep the peace, and you don't want to open the door for somebody that's pissed off or just trying to screw around, and they start claiming people's guys, and they're just dumping them. I mean, you don't want to see that because that disrupts the entire point of the taxi squad. So that's the point of this, is to take some time to think about whether or not during the season, the regular season, if somebody claims a taxi player from somebody else, do we want to write some language in that says, well, you're going to have to hold them for the rest of the week. You can't cut this guy this week. You want to cut him next week, fine, but you know, you're going to have to hold him on your roster, and then next week you're taking a cap hit. Last but not least, I think we should allow drafted players to be placed on the taxi squad. Now, we talked a little bit about this during the creation of the rules for the taxi squad. And at the end of the day, if someone wants to take, and I'm going to just pick something outrageous, if I want to put Todd Gurley on my taxi squad, well, I'm stupid. Someone's absolutely going to claim that player. If I'm dumb enough to put a player on the squad that is that good, then, you know, I put myself in that situation and I should have to make a decision on whether I want to bring the guy up and keep him or if I want to let him go. But when it comes to guys that are in the, you know, third, fourth, fifth round, sometimes you're picking players that aren't ready to play in the NFL. You know, you're picking a quarterback like a Garrett Grayson that New Orleans that you want to let groom for a while. You know, why not? If it's a draft pick, if you collected those draft picks, and those are penny players anyway, why not let owners put those guys on the taxi squad? You know, there's really no harm in allowing owners to do that. It's their draft pick, and I think it would be kind of healthy for the league to allow for that. But that's my opinion. Looking forward to talking to everybody at the rules meeting to see how they feel about that. So, number three, do we want to – somebody else had mentioned this, and that's why it's being brought up. I don't remember who specifically, but we talked about, do we want to have a special spot for defensive tackles in our league? Do we want to split this out and start to slowly split positions out and start, you know, defensive tackles aren't as, frankly, they don't get hardly as many points as defensive ends. Should we have a separate defensive tackle category? Should we take the two linemen that are starting right now and make it one and one tackle? I don't know. You know, I don't know the answer to that. I just have it on the agenda for us all to talk about. It's a good thing to talk about. Point number four is to move the early signing deadline to August 1st. Now, Remember, we instituted a rule that said that teams could take players that are on their roster that they have the early signing rights to. The right of, I don't want to describe this. If you have a player and you have not used your free signing yet for that player, the first time that they're on your team and their contract is up, you get the chance to re-sign them up to a three-year deal. So what this would say, right now, everybody's ability to sign these kinds of players goes all the way into deep August, like mid-August almost. And that's becoming a problem. These are kind of like, yeah, Muhammad Wilkerson has a year left on his deal. You think it's advantageous to yourself to lock him up right now to a three-year deal. If you let him play next year, you think, well, he might end up being a top five defensive lineman and I'll have to pay him more. So you sign him early. You forego the 1 year left on his deal, sign him to a three-year deal, but you sign him to an advantageous contract for you financially. Well, we had that rule put into place last year, and of the 13 early signings last year, 11 were made the night of the deadline. The deadline's rough enough with regular contracts coming in. I mean, to me, if a guy wants to sign a player early, then they need to know that far before the deadline, and I'm proposing that we move the deadline up to August 1st. I'm just going to say it. It just really pisses me off. It's like you got all, what, gee, gads, you got 7-8 months of off season, and 11 out of 13 early signings take place the night of the deadline, which was roughly August 12th off the top of my head. Why? Come on. I mean, again, it's the whole off season. You can't make a decision about a young talent on your team that you know you're going to want to do an early signing on until the night of the deadline on August 12th. That's kind of crappy. And that's why we're going to talk about moving that deadline up to August 1st. Second point, moving the entire signing tag deadline to August 1st. Overall, there's too many owners that are waiting to the last minute to make their deals. And I think it's time for the league to discuss possibly moving the entire sign tag deadline to August 1st. 20 deals last year were signed the day of the deadline, and we need to discuss the impact of that and the impact that moving the overall deadline would have on the league. I mean, our rookie draft occurs the second Saturday in July every year, and that many times is in the teens as far as, you know, how that plays out. I think we've started on July 17th 1 year, for example. So using July 17th as an example, you're only 14 days away from August 1st, or from July 31st, really. And then August 1st would be the next day. And the draft, sometimes the draft, you know, that draft could last 2 weeks. So is August 1st too early for that? I don't know, but I do know that we have a problem as a league, whether guys realize it or not, that everyone can't wait to the last minute to sign their deals. We need to do something to get guys. I understand there's deals that you want to hold off on, but there's also deals where you just know that, that's your guy. That's one of your star players. You're not letting him go. You're going to re-sign him. It's a no-brainer. Sign him. Send the email. Get it done. Get it over with. We need to find a way to move the league in that direction so that we don't have kind of easy decisions being taken to the deadline. And again, I repeat to everybody, what makes this more frustrating is that we did put in a rule as a league that says that, you know, you can get out of any signing that you do during the off season up until the deadline. So even if you went in and said, hey, I'm going to sign pick a player. I'm going to sign Alfred Morris to a three-year deal. And then you don't like that Alfred Morris went to the Cowboys. You can walk completely away from the deal, no cap hit or anything. Or you can say, you know what, I said 3 years. I changed my mind. I just want 1 year on that deal. You can do that too. So there's no risk to the owner in making the signing early is kind of what I'm getting at. So that's something we need to address. We need to pick some new reps for the 2016 regular season. We're going to look at adjusting the consecutive pass rule for auctions. So the rule that we have right now says that, when you go twice or everyone's allowed the right to pass during the auction. So we want to set the rule that says you cannot pass twice in a row if you need more than five players. And the reason why is the auction is too long, both in person and via chat, for guys to play games. And if you need more than five players, then you have an obligation to toss out a name. Unless there's an exception situation, like an owner that couldn't make the auction, we shouldn't allow owners to walk into the chat auction needing more than five players also. It just takes too long to do the auction when guys walk in and they need 10 players. And I'm talking about the chat auction specifically. But two different topics, but it's all being merged into this one agenda item. So the first part, just to, again, clarify, because I muddied that up a little bit. In the regular free agent auction that we have where we're all in person, every owner has the right to pass. We all sit around the room and we go around in a circle and the, you know, guys say pass, 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 and it goes all, sometimes it goes all the way around the room. And this is happening when there are owners that need 5, 10, 15 players. So it makes everything take so long. And we have a rule as a league that says if we pass around the room twice, then the auction's over. So what this rule would say is, hey, if you need more than five players, you're not allowed to pass the second time. You're not allowed to pass twice in a row if you need more than five players. You need to throw a name out. No more games. You want to pass the first time because you kind of want to make everybody else tip their hand, fine. But if you need more than five players, get up off your ass and get a player name out there so that we can get this thing going. So that's kind of where this is coming from, is to get guys to not lay back and just pass, pass, pass. Get the names out there. Get it going. The second part of this is that we got guys that walk out of the auction and they need more than five players. And they come into that final free agent auction, which is a chat auction, and then that whole thing is bogged down. And it takes way too long. And that's something that I think I'm hearing from all ownership, that, man, you know, some of this stuff is just taking so long, especially the auctions that we have. So those are two rules that I want to kind of A and B that I want to talk about at the meeting and see what ownership feels as far as do we want to tweak the rules. Point eight, clarify the rules language. We want to tweak the note on 2% tiers to say that when factoring in franchise and transition amounts, that when applying the franchise and or transition tags, that the owner cannot pay the player less than what their financial tier says that they should be paid. So the idea here is you can't say, well, a 2% raise would, excuse me, a 10% raise to this player would be $5, but the franchise tag that I'm putting on him says I only have to pay him $450, so I just pay him $450. No, you always have to pay the higher amount. I didn't mean to say tweak the note on 2% tiers. What I meant to say was when you're factoring the franchise and transition amounts, you always have to pay the player the higher amount. I'm not sure. You know, we just want to make sure that that's in writing clearly. For example, if a quarterback's being franchised and the franchise amount is $10, but the player finished in the top four and thus they would be paid $13.50, then the owner must pay $13.50. They can't pay the franchise amount because the franchise amount is lower than the actual tier amount or lower than the, in, you know, the example I gave before where a 10% increase would be less. They have to pay him the higher amount. So you have to pay either the tier amount or 10%, whichever is greater. Likewise, when applying a tag, you pay the tag amount or the tier amount or 10%, whichever is greatest. So that's a lot of power items to talk about. I hope I'll see all of you at the meeting on April 24th at the Mad Dog, the Mad Dog Saloon. Until next time, I'm Rick Goreski signing off on another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League. Going to treat you to the Emperor's trip. He took a trip to the Death Star. Some more robot chicken to end the show.
Welcome, my master. The Death Star construction.
Yeah, great, fine, whatever. That flight was a f***ing nightmare, man. My stupid tray table broke, and I ended up with a gallon of coffee in my crotch. It's like dunking my wang in hot lava. Something you have some experience with, I guess, huh? Right?
Yeah. Is that yours?
No, for the 100th time, that's that same stupid black bag. Mine doesn't have a stripe. It's like that stripy bag is mocking me. F*** you, stripy bag. Well, my suitcase is gone. Sacrifice to the airport guards. Now I'm here for 2 f***ing weeks with 1 f***ing robe. All right, now it's sticking to me like a wet Kleenex. Wow, for real? Yeah, I guess I'll just be killing myself then. Good chair, good chair. Nice lumbar support. Great view of utter blackness. Oh, but I'm right under the air conditioning vent. And the chair's bolted to the floor? Who's the brainiac? Hey, Crayola, help me shut this vent. Yeah, reach up there with your staff of Ra and... Hey, wanna see me tempt fate?
Could this day get any worse? I did it ironically, so I think I'm safe.
What are you doing? I'm coming out!